And now we come to look at another part of Proverbs that we've been working through in the mornings. And if you remember from previous Sundays, Proverbs, there's certainly larger kind of parts of it in the early chapters, but then it's a lot of these pithy two-sentence Proverbs. And so what David and myself are doing are kind of, and the other David, gathering these pebbles on the beach, as David Scott described it, these various pithy sayings, and grouping them thematically. And so this morning we come to look at the whole issue of parenting, training our children. And so I'm going to read these various passages from Proverbs, working from the start to the end, and then we'll consider this whole theme together. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son brings grief to his mother. He who heeds discipline shows the way to life, but whoever ignores correction leads others astray. Whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. To have a fool for a child brings grief. There is no joy for the parent of a godless fool. Discipline your children, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to their death. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far away. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish them with the rod, they will not die. Punish them with the rod and save his soul from death. A rod and reprimand impart wisdom, but a child left undisciplined disgraces its mother. Discipline your son, and he will give you peace. He will bring delight to your soul. Amen. This is God's word to us. And that was using both the newer version of the NIV and the older version for those readings. Okay, parenting. Could you just put me down a little bit? I'm echoing a bit. Thanks, Anthony. Parenting is kind of hard work. Some of you are in the thick of it. You're facing the battle of homework hill, or clean your hamster cage hill, or brush your teeth hill. Some of you have just entered into it. Isn't that terrifying? And some of you have moved on to that, what I'm told, is a unique joy of grand parenting. You can tell me all about that afterwards. And if you're not a parent here this morning, you're not allowed to tune out for the next wee while. Because actually what we'll see is that the parenting principles in Proverbs here and in the Bible, it's actually the way God parents us. So if we're a child of God, this is how he parents us. So this applies to all of us. You know, I've got one of my sons here this morning, so this is a bit awkward, but you know, parenting has been the toughest thing I've ever done in my life. And yet, it's certainly been the most amazing too. You can feel just so vulnerable. Like you just have no idea what to do, and you're crying out to God, give me the strength, give me the wisdom. I don't know what to do here. I read this week of a parent who said, when I got married, I had four theories about parenting and no children. Now I have four children and no theories. Yeah, I'm a bit like that. Maybe you are too. As we face the messiness, and that's literal and figurative, of bringing up children, we often want to just grab an easy technique to make it all just go swimmingly, to sort things out. But it doesn't exist. Parenting is complex, and each one of our children are their own little complex. So what can we do? What should we do if we want to take parenting seriously? Well, what we have to do before we start reading loads of parenting books and finding little tips and hints and techniques, which could be of some use to some things, what we need to do is, as Christians, take a step back and think, what are we actually doing? What is this all about, this parenting thing God has got me doing? And we need to see parenting in the light of the gospel. We need to get that big view of the good news of Jesus and what that means for us as a parent and for this thing we're trying to do called parenting. Imagine hundreds of years ago, two stonemasons working away on the same project, and someone comes up to one of them and says, "What are you doing?" And he says, "I'm chiseling this lump of stone." And then someone goes up to the other guy and says, "What are you doing?" And he says, "I'm building Notre Dame Cathedral." And so often, day by day, in parenting, we feel like we're just chiseling a lump of stone, and we're not actually sure what in the world are we doing here. And we're doing something more amazing than building Notre Dame Cathedral. And so the gospel has got to be foundational to how we bring up our children. It can't be an added extra, a little sprinkling on the top. And the gospel is wonderful because it tells us who we are and who they are, who our children are. The gospel tells us that without Jesus, we are lost. We're taking all the wrong paths and we're foolish. We're a fool. The Bible pulls no punches. We are foolish without Jesus. We think we are the center of everything. We want to go anywhere we want to go and have everyone serve us. We're idolaters. The loves of our hearts are not directed to glorifying God. They're all over the place. The gospel tells us these things. This is who you are. But then the gospel also proclaims, but Jesus, if you put your trust in Jesus, He frees you. He breaks the power of sin in your life, and he gets rid of all that foolishness that you're living by. He takes away the penalty and the power of our foolishness, of our sin, and He gives us the Holy Spirit to have the strength, the power to live for Him. That's what the gospel tells us, and it's so important before we look at this that we grasp this is what the gospel tells us about who we are. And then it makes one other thing plain, the gospel. Who's in charge? We're not in charge. The final authority comes from God. He calls the shots. We belong to Him, as one of our catechisms says. So we have to go His way. He gives us a position of responsibility and authority, but He is the authority, and we must use what He has given us to glorify Him. And so that's the context. Who we are, our need of Christ, and who's to be in charge. And this gospel sense is not going to make parenting easy, but it's going to give that strong foundation for each day of this parenting work that we do. Now, as I read through those readings, the cluster of readings in Proverbs about parenting, three parenting principles really just stood out. And I think these three principles are what Proverbs are trying to emphasize to do with parenting. And I think actually these principles connect, they plug in to this gospel worldview that I'm talking about. And interestingly, I never normally do this with my sermons, but there are three D's. There you go, three D's that have jumped out. So I'm going to call this 3D parenting. And maybe that will help you to remember these three D's in the maelstrom and chaos of trying to parent your children. The first one is we're called to direct our children in the way they should go. Secondly, we're called to discipline our children in love. And then thirdly, we're called to delight in our children, to direct, to discipline, and to delight. 3D parenting. Let's look at the first one together. Directing our children in the way they should go. You know, that's one of the most famous verses in Proverbs 22:6. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Our kids do a lot of training. Have you noticed that? Or your grandkids? Do you know how much training they do every week? We're taking them to all sorts of clubs and things. You know, it's football, it's gymnastics, it's swimming lessons at the Aquadome. You've got to do those. It's judo, choir, drama, all sorts of things. And they train to be better. They train to learn skills. They train to perform. They train to compete. And that's good. That's brilliant for these children that are just forming. And, of course, the whole day in school is kind of a training, isn't it? In all these subjects. And then they've got their homework. They're doing more training at home. And then, you know, we're thinking, okay, well, we've got to train them in all the things, like boys lift the toilet seat and, you know, make sure you brush your teeth twice a day and say your pleases and thank yous and tidy your rooms and whatever. All that training is important. Childhood, in many ways, is about training. But Proverbs is talking about a very specific type of training in this verse here. Train a child in the way he should go. Not just skills, not just techniques to make life a bit easier, but a direction. Training them where they should go. You know, before the service this morning, we had a number of office bearers and that gathered to train in how we are going to respond if there's ever a fire here in this building. And all being well, this will never happen. But we're still training for it. It's good to be prepared, isn't it? Well, our children are going to grow up. They are going. There's not, I wonder if they will or if they'll maybe just stay as a child. No, they are going to grow up. It's a definite. And it's an absolute definite. They will take one particular road or another. So training is absolutely imperative. Training them to go the way of wisdom, not the way of wickedness, as it talks about in Proverbs. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. There's that choice every human has to make. And we as parents are called to train our children to take the right road, to obey the one who says, take up your cross and follow me. Now, this principle of directing, though it was a given in generations past, you'll have noticed it's now causing a bit of controversy these days. Some people say today that to tell a child there is a right way or there is a wrong way in these big issues in life, that compromises their independence, their ability to decide without any interference who they are and where they want to go, how they want to live. And so people say, look, just back off. Don't say anything to them. Let them figure it out themselves. But that doesn't really work in practice. It certainly doesn't work for anything else in life. They need direction in almost every area of their lives. We're not afraid to say vegetables are good for you. Eat your vegetables. I'm going to be here every dinner time for the next 18 years encouraging you, training you to eat your vegetables. I've got an exhibit A here from someone who remained nameless, but this was a child who wrote this up recently. My dream day: wake up, watch TV and screens, eat chocolate spread and peanut butter, do Fortnite and FIFA, that's a game on the computer, play Fortnite and FIFA for 3 hours, have lunch, play Fortnite and FIFA for 7 hours, have dinner at 8 p.m., who is this guy? Movie and screens after dinner, then two more movies, and then just a giant scrawled screens all the way along it with some sort of sweetie stain on here. And this child gave this to their mother and said, this is why I need parents. Very insightful. Absolutely. What would our kids be doing if it wasn't, if we weren't in their lives? Think about it. What would they do? And so it's important when it comes to dinner time and to screens and to all these things that we are directing them and instructing them in the way they should go. And more important than you could ever imagine than all those things is directing them, this is the right way to go. There really is a God. And He wants a relationship with you. And there's a way that leads to death. And there's a way that leads to life. This is truth. Don't we believe it? Well, we share it. And this responsibility is not for the church. This may come as a shock to some people, but it is not our responsibility as a church, primarily not our responsibility, to teach your child the way they should go. It's just Truth Trackers is fantastic. They do an amazing job with our children. But an hour or two once a week in teaching them the way they should go, that is not going to do it. It's the parents' responsibility. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. And then the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6 makes it clear this is between parents and children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So what's it going to look like to bring our children up in the training and instruction of the Lord and this D of directing them? Well, first we've got to teach them. As I'm saying, not just a Sunday morning isn't enough to teach our children. We've got to tell them a story. And it's a story that will be different to the story they're told in school, with their friends, online, from TV shows, almost anything else they're connected with in their lives. And this story doesn't have them at the center. And this story isn't a choose-your-own-adventure story. This story has a Creator God who wants to rescue them from their lostness and foolishness and give them new life in Christ Jesus, His Son. And this story says the biggest problem in life is in here. Not out there. And all of us need to hear that too. It's not Brexit, it's not all these other things. The biggest problem, the biggest human problem is in here. And our children need to know that story, to know that reality. And so we've got to share this with them. And the other thing we've got to share with them is the amazing channels of grace that God has set up for us to grow more and more day by day to know Him. His means of grace, as they'd call it in the old days. So that's His Word. So listening to that voice. It's prayer. It's telling them, you've got God's ear. He's ready to listen to you at any time. And it's His people. Christ's body, the church. We want to tell them, look, all these things are there for you to enjoy and grow in the love of God. Don't know if you remember Val Dunican. Yeah? This is a guilty secret of mine. When I was a kid, all I listened to was 60s music. I was the saddest little kid ever because I grew up in the 80s. So I used to love his hit, Walk Tall, Walk Straight and Look the World Right in the Eye. That's what my mama told me. I'm not allowed to sing up here. When I was about knee high. Okay, so there you go. Val Dunican's saying it like it is. This is what his mom told him. Walk tall, walk straight. What are we going to tell our children? What are they going to be saying in 50 years? This is what my mama told me. This is what my dad told me. What was this big, really important piece of advice? This story. This direction. What will it be? If we stay quiet on these things, I don't want to compromise their, you know, their ability to decide. Yes, we don't push it on top of them, but we share it with them. Or else, do you know what they'll think? They'll think it was just a hobby for the weekend. They won't think it really mattered to us if we don't tell them. We've got to tell our children this story and all that Christ has done for us. And then another thing about directing is an example. We can't just talk. We've got to be an example. And the father in Proverbs says this, I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. Lead you. And how can we do that? Well, I think it's showing that this faith we have impacts every part of our lives. Our job, our relationships, our finance, our hopes, our dreams, our fears, that it impacts everything. Earlier in Ephesians, Paul says, walk in a manner worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. You know, children can spot hypocrisy a mile off in us. We are to be gentle and patient in how we parent our children. And when we get it wrong, we say sorry to those who have wronged. Yes, even our children. And when they hurt us, we forgive them. And don't emotionally blackmail them for the rest of the week because I can't believe they did that. But we live this way. We walk in a manner worthy of the calling they have received. Just one of our parents kicking into action here. We wish her all the best. You know, there's the famous missionary to China, Hudson Taylor. He was so influenced by his parents, and I've been so blessed by reading his biography recently. And his parents saw nothing more important than to pass this wonderful thing that they had, the most wonderful thing in their lives, this relationship with Jesus. They wanted to pass it on. And it talks in the biography about James Taylor, his dad. He would take his children every now and again into his room where he would, his private room where he was doing his private prayer and devotion. And he would just pray with them there. He would show them how to pray. And he would give them a sense that God is there. And He's faithful. He's real. And He's powerful. And then they would set aside a definite time each day for the young people to have their own time to pray to God or to read the Bible. And much of what Hudson Taylor did later, he traced back to those firm foundations in the channels of God's grace, the Word and prayer. So we need direction. That's what Proverbs is saying. We need to direct our children, to teach them, to lead by example. And then the second D is the D of discipline. And what you probably noticed there is just how much Proverbs has to say about discipline. Quite amazing. Discipline your children, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to their death. So it's not enough just to direct our children, to say, I'll tell them about Jesus and I'll try and lead a good life. We also need to discipline them. And the word discipline really means to punish. When it comes to discipline, Alistair Begg says, we can often come down on one of two extremes, either excessive strictness or lenient laxity. But wisely, calmly administered discipline is essential. Because if we're instructing children in the way they should go and saying these are the boundaries, then there has to be some consequence if the boundaries are transgressed, or else they're not boundaries. So discipline is vital if we are to direct our children in the way they should go. We want to be consistent, and we're not doing it to make our lives easier, which is sometimes what us parents are like. This will stop them coming down and ruining my TV show tonight, if I can just figure this bedtime routine out and discipline them. No, we're doing it because we love them, because we want them to go that way. A father disciplines the son he delights in. And so we're trying to teach them how the world works, really, before they actually face it on their own. You see, it's better if they have mildly unpleasant consequences now and learn from it, rather than have to face painful and even tragic consequences later in life when they go outside these boundaries. There's all sorts of different ways to enact discipline, isn't there? Punishments, withholding something good like a TV show, or removing a privilege, or requiring a chore to be done. There's all sorts of different ways. We need to know our children and what they respond to. But then we come to the thing you're waiting for me to come to, which is about the rod, isn't it? There's a lot of stuff there about the rod. You know, it's important that we read what's there in Scripture and don't bounce over it. This is a concern to many modern readers, Christians and non-Christians alike. Whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. Now, Proverbs does actually speak about the rod of discipline, and that kind of showed that the rod had become synonymous with discipline itself. You know, they used to actually have the rod to punish criminals in the ancient world. So the rod became synonymous with authority, with discipline. Whether that means we can dispense entirely with the idea of physical punishment as a very last resort is quite a difficult argument to make from Proverbs. This word rod, it surely denotes at least a possibility of corporal punishment. But it can, of course, have this wider general meaning about discipline. This is a hot topic. Don't know if you're keeping up with the Scottish Parliament at the moment. It was voted on last week, 80 votes to 29 in favour of a bill to remove the existing reasonable chastisement defence for parents. And that will mean if that becomes law, parents can be prosecuted and convicted for using any form of physical punishment, a tap on the hand or a smack on the bum. That will be illegal, whereas at the moment it's legal. I'm not going to get into all of this. But I think with everything, we need to be looking at Scripture and trying to work out what is right. Certainly, discipline is vitally important. And, you know, Proverbs says itself, discipline, punishment cannot be on its own. It's got to be alongside a verbal, reasoned explanation of what's going on. A rod and a reprimand imparts wisdom. And whatever we do, it can never be motivated. It can never be done in anger or motivated by our embarrassment. It's always got to be motivated by love. And on the wider issue of discipline, it's so important that we discipline our children, not just so we keep them away from future pain that they could come across if they transgress these boundaries, but also because we as Christians recognize that children aren't little angels. Now, anyone who currently has children living in their homes knows that, but sometimes other people don't realize. And there is this idea out there that children are these little angels. Proverbs doesn't beat around the bush. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child. The Bible says we are all born in sin. Folly is bound up in our hearts. And what is folly? Well, it's thinking we're wise and everyone else is foolish. It's wanting to jump over that boundary. It's demanding that other people serve us now and we're not going to serve them. Folly is setting ourselves up as the ultimate authority. Basically, it's living as if God doesn't exist, because the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And that is what I was saying. This serious heart condition that we all have as humans, and only Christ can rescue us from it. And so our children have that heart disease too. They have that heart problem too. It's a terrifying thing to realize. And so our discipline can't just be about behavior modification. You know, if I can just get them to stop doing this, and then that'll be fine. Okay, they've stopped doing it. Great. No, we want to be shepherding, as someone's described it, shepherding a child's heart, helping them to recognize God's authority, to recognize they're not the center of the universe. And so every opportunity, every time we're disciplining, is an opportunity to show them their need, but also to let them see that Jesus Christ comes in rescuing, forgiving, wisdom-giving grace for all who will receive it. So we've got the bad news and the good news to give to our children right there as we discipline them. And of course, it's a lot easier for parents who know themselves how much they need grace to show that grace to their children. It's not going to be a one-off event. It's a process. It's a conversation that will last many years. This is the way to go. No, stay within the boundaries. And the final D, the D of delight, delighting in our children. You know, throughout all the parental addresses in Proverbs, there's that real love and care and warmth that comes through. Have you noticed that? The parent's instruction is to be a garland to grace the child's head and a chain to adorn their neck. The father disciplines the son he delights in. So it can't just be directing them and disciplining them to make it truly 3D parenting. And we like 3D, not 2D. Amidst all that instruction and discipline, there must be delight. This may be the most difficult one for us to actually do in the busy freneticism of life. They have to know that we take joy in their existence. not just when they do well in class or in a sports club, not just when they're obeying us, but we love them at all times unconditionally because they are God-created miracles, and we have the awesome privilege, not of owning them, but the privilege of helping to form them and to set them on their way. And so that's it, 3D parenting. We're called, as Proverbs makes clear, to direct our children, to discipline them, and to delight in them. And as I said at the start, the amazing thing is this is how God parents us. He directs us in the way we should go. He disciplines, he tells us, he disciplines those he loves. Remember that good shepherd of Psalm 23. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. The rod of discipline, the staff of direction, there in the good shepherd who delights in his flock. And Zephaniah says, this is how God treats his children. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. And so we can only be the parents God wants us to be if we're allowing ourselves to be parented by God. If we're loving him, if we're obeying him, if we're going the way he wants, and if we're responding rightly to his discipline. And maybe it is that he sent our children into our lives so that they would change us, so that through parenting we would become more dependent on him, more prayerful, more obedient. Show me the way, God. I don't know the way. Could it be our children are being used in our lives for that wonderful reason? Finally, just all this I've talked about, I hope it's not come across as mere theoretical from the Bible. I hope it plugs into where you are at today in your parenting. But one thing to say, we all have regrets, don't we? As parents, we have regrets on how we handle the situation, what we said, and those things could just cloud everything. And we think, I'm a terrible parent. You know, what's going on here? But as we remember all these things, we can't forget the cross. It's on the cross that Jesus bore all our regrets, our shame, our failures. It's in his death that he won for us forgiveness. And so we don't need to carry that around with us every day in parenting. We bring it to him in repentance and we say, I believe you've taken that away. I don't need to carry that anymore. And then we follow him into the next day of this wonderful calling of parenting our children and showing them the way to go as we ourselves follow Christ on that way. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a perfect Father. You are a perfect parent. We thank you for all the ways that you have directed us in our lives. We thank you for that most perfect example of your Son Jesus Christ walking these dusty roads of this world for us. We thank you for your discipline that has saved us from death and brought us back onto the path time and time again. And we thank you, Lord God, for the wonderful truth of the gospel that you, in Christ, delight in us. And so we want to rest in that as parents, as grandparents, as all of us children of God. Thank you. thank you for what you have done for us in the gospel, and help us to be parents who point our children to you. In Jesus' name, amen.